Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matasha.
Good afternoon, Zama.
How are you doing? Are you good?
I'm good. Long time.
Long time no speak. Have you been good?
Yeah, I've been good.
Long time indeed. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. I do hope that we're going to be having a fantastic week together with you.
Sure.
Right. Now, for many Christians, rather many Christians focus on knowing the Father, Son, but knowing the Holy Spirit is sometimes given a scant attention. Now, as a result, there are many misconceptions about the identity of the Holy Spirit, that he is a mystical force, an impersonal power, or a promoter of show-stopping signs, or is this, you know, all sorts of names. Is the Spirit an agent of chaos in the church, or as some charismatic churches imply? What does the Bible say about the identity and the nature of the Holy Spirit? We're going to be talking to you about this, Pastor. I do hope that those who are joining on the line will also be a part of this conversation. Now, who is or what is the Holy Spirit?
That's a very interesting question there. And yes, I want to first acknowledge that there are a lot of theological debates when it comes to the nature of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, it's also starting to creep into the Adventist church. But yes, the Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit is a person. Yes, if you read John chapter 16, verse 14, speaking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "I will send you another comforter, and he will guide you." So Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a person. Okay. And the words that he uses, another comforter, if you check them in the original language, which happens to be Greek, another is, in Greek, another has two words, allos and heteros. And allos means another of the same kind. And heteros means another of a different kind. And comforter means parakletos. From which we get the English word paraclete, which means advocate, lawyer.
Right.
So what did Jesus say, to sum it up? When he says, "I will send you another comforter," he was saying, "I am sending you another advocate." But it's common sense that you don't say, "I'm going to give you another," if you, you didn't give me the first one. So we know that Jesus is the advocate. He is the paraclete. But when he is leaving, he says, "I'm sending another of the same kind." So to decode this, we'll say, what, was Jesus a person? If he was a person, then the Holy Spirit is a person. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We know that the Father is a person. Jesus is a person. So is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead.
So you're saying the Father is a person, the Son is a person, and
yes,
the Spirit is a person.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, is the Holy Spirit also God, equal in power and authority to the Father and also to the Son?
Yes. If you read Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, it's a very interesting verse. When Ananias and his wife lied, Peter says to him, "Why did Satan fill your heart and cause you to lie? You did not lie to men, but you lied to the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 says, you lied to God. So the Holy Spirit is fully God.
Mm.
In speaking about sin, Jesus says this to say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, he says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. This truly shows that the Holy Spirit is fully God.
Is he equal to God? That was the question.
Yes, he is.
Equal in substance?
The Holy Spirit is, he has all the attributes of God. He is omnipotent.
Right.
He is omniscient. And he is omnipresent.
I see.
So it means he is all powerful. He is all knowing. And he is ever present. Whatever God does, in Psalms 139, verse 7 to 8, David says, where can I hide from you, Lord? He says, wherever I go, you are there. Your spirit is there. So the Holy Spirit is equal. He's, there is no, by the way, there is nothing like a lesser God. If the Holy Spirit is a lesser God or Jesus is a lesser God, then we have two gods or three gods.
So there's no hierarchy, basically.
There is no hierarchy in terms of God. There is a hierarchy in terms of service, execution.
All right. Now, before Christ came and lived and died and rose and ascended back into heaven, was there no Holy Spirit among us?
No. The Holy Spirit was there.
Say again.
If you check Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering upon the waters. He was there, he was active in creation.
Okay.
You can also check the Old Testament times. You will see that there were people who were filled by the Holy Spirit.
Tell me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No,
let me just give you a few ones. In Numbers 24, verse 2, Balaam was filled by the Spirit of God. In Judges 6, verse 34, Gideon was filled by the Spirit of God. Peter speaks that holy men were moved, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was there before Christ's coming, and he was there before Christ's ascension.
So now Christ says that I'm going to leave, but I'm going to leave you with another. What does this suggest that if the Holy Spirit has always been there? Isn't that a contradiction?
Okay, that's a good one. Before I answer this, let me start by acknowledging that some of my followers, they, after our last interview, they said, you know, this summer guy asked difficult questions.
No, man.
Yeah, they said, you know, Pastor, this guy was frying you. I said, yeah, I know.
No.
I could feel the heat.
I was not frying
you. Is that a contradiction? That's not a contradiction. Before Christ's ascension, the Holy Spirit was there, but he was not given in full measure.
He was only given in full measure
after Christ's ascension.
How do we know that he was not given in full measure?
Ah, okay. That's a good one.
Because I'm asking, Pastor, because if Christ says that I am not going to leave you alone, there is now going to be another as I am leaving. I'm going to give you another which is like me. Now, clearly, that suggests that this is now something that's going to replace me, because you are used to me being around. So where something else now is going to be around, or someone else, whatever, whichever way you want to put it, which suggests that there wasn't before he said this statement. So if you are saying that not in equal measure, please unpack that. Where do we get that?
Thank you. So in John chapter 7, I'm going to read this one for you quickly.
Right.
In John chapter 7, it says, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But how do we know that the Holy Spirit was there? When you read the book of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2.
Hang on, before you
when take Jesus me, was born.
Yeah, before you take
he me was me. Filled by the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
John was filled by the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit was supposed to play a temporary role until Jesus fulfills his mission of dying for men and making it possible for men to be houses of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. But is the verse that you gave me suggesting that he was there? Because it does look like it's not explicit that he was given in smaller measure. Is it because we are maybe reading what we already know into the verse?
Okay. That's an interesting one. You know that before the Holy Spirit, Jesus on chapter 16, he says, John chapter 16, he says, I'm going to send you another comforter when I am gone. And yet, on chapter 14, he breathes upon his disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Meaning what? Jesus had the Holy Spirit and yet he was going to send the Holy Spirit. You see those two incidences. How are you going to send something or someone that you are still, that you are already breathing upon people?
So it means that there could be then somewhat an interaction of terms here, because you read Genesis 1 and the Spirit of God hovered on the earth. And we use the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God interchangeably. Is it the same thing?
Yes, it is. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's called the Spirit of Jesus. It's more like what? Jesus says, I'm the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus was holy. He lived a holy life. God is holy. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Okay. So the main purpose that causes the Holy Spirit to kind of play a reserved role when Jesus was still there is because the main function of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God and glorify Jesus and remind people of Jesus' words. But that cannot be done if Jesus is still there. But when he is gone, then the Holy Spirit will come and he will remind, he will teach, he will convict, he will direct, inspire, sanctify.
Now, you're saying that the Holy Spirit is God, which means that he's a person. So, as we would put it, he's a third person.
Yes.
Who is a God?
Yes.
Who is equal in substance and authority?
And power.
And power.
Yes.
So, do we worship him?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because if he's God, then worship is due to him also.
Yes.
We worship the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to give you an allusion from the book of Revelations. You will see that Let me start with Matthew. When Jesus was born, on chapter 1, Mary is told that what is inside you is of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you were looking for the Father of what is inside you, it belongs to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It makes sense then when Jesus is crying on the cross, he says, "My Father, my Father, why have you left me?" Two times. In Revelations, angels say, "Holy, holy, holy," three times. They don't say that four times. They don't say that two times. They don't say that once. That should say something.
So you're making an assumption there, because that verse is not suggesting that he is to be worshipped. That holy, holy refers to the Father, actually, if you read that whole passage. So I'm trying to check, Pastor, if worship is due, because we read in the scripture that worship is only due to the Father, and you are saying no, we also worship the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to check with you if you can very clearly, not with assumptions, just unpack that with us, maybe with some reference.
Okay, let me start by correcting what you just said.
Right.
Because this argument, like we said, is also there. It's popping up even among Adventists.
Yes, yes.
That
yes,
only the Father should be worshipped. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, Jesus also is worthy to be worshipped. Worship is due to him. In chapter 1, verse 6, God calls Jesus God. And he calls him, he says, let the angels worship him. So Jesus is also worshipped. If he is worshipped by angels, he's definitely supposed to be worshipped by us. Okay? But the Holy Spirit now, the mission of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came as a person, physical human being. The Holy Spirit is going to operate inside us and not outside or something that is visible. The Holy Spirit is invisible. When we worship God and we say the Holy Spirit is God, we are worshiping the Holy Spirit. But there is no a visible picture or a visible person that we can say, now we are worshiping the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Yes,
but
yes.
If we worship God and we've established that the Holy Spirit is God, then we are worshiping him.
Right. Well, we're going to, I don't want to stay on that because we need to go to other questions as well. I do want to, though, to just read. I know it's actually going to delay us because I really wanted to actually zoom into this. But let's
you can take it tomorrow. But you can zoom in and say, think about it. You can highlight it. It's fine.
Okay. No, it's fine. Let's actually just finish our theme today. Then, if we have time, we'll go to it. What is the role of the Holy Spirit?
Okay. Like I said, the role of the Holy Spirit is execution. Okay. He has a lot of functions. He's a comforter. He convicts. He's a teacher. He's a guider. He's an empowerer. But he executes God's plan in men. And he helps men to live according to God's plan. So his main function, his main role, he's an executor. He makes things happen. He's a connector. He connects humanity and divinity.
Connects humanity and divinity. That's a big one. Now, how does the Holy Spirit then interact with the believers today?
Okay. I wanted to give you 12 things, but I know you don't have time now.
Well,
he's a teacher.
Go ahead. Let's see.
Okay. So Genesis 6 verse 3, the Holy Spirit strives with people. Luke 12 verse 12, he teaches. John 16 verse 18, he convicts the world of sin. 2 Peter 1 21, he inspires the writers. 1 Peter 1 verse 2, he sanctifies. Romans 8 26, he helps. 8 26, he intercedes. John 16 13, he speaks. He guides. He comforts. So his role is to make sure that he creates in us God's character. And he helps us where we are failing. That's why then, if we sin against the only power, the only person that was given to us, there is no hope for us.
Yeah. There will definitely be no hope. Now, what are some of the signs that a person is actually filled with the Holy Spirit?
Interesting. Let me just give you two. The first one is that a person who is filled by the Holy Spirit will obey God.
Yes.
Yes, that's Acts chapter 5.
Right.
Obedience is the very first sign that shows this person has the Holy Spirit. Because he will tell us what God is saying, what we ought to do. If we obey, then the Holy Spirit is in us. There is nothing like having the Holy Spirit yet disobeying God. And then the second one. When the Holy Spirit is with us, the fruit of the Spirit that is found on Galatians chapter 5 will be seen in us. There are certain visible attributes that will be seen in us. Joy, love, long-suffering, and the likes. You'll find them on verse 23, chapter 9, chapter 5, verse 20, verse 21 to 23. So there is no The works of the Holy Spirit, though it works invisibly in us, the results should be visible to people. How we live, how we treat people. A lot of people say they have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me this. The Holy Spirit is leading me. But when you look at their lives, it manifests another spirit.
Yeah. Now, can a pastor, I think our time is gone. Now, can a pastor or spiritual leader give another person a Holy Spirit? I mean, we've seen this on television, people saying that and et cetera, et cetera. Can a pastor or a spiritual leader, deacon or whoever, give another person the Holy Spirit? So are you, well, you are the pastor, so let me talk to you. Can you give me the Holy Spirit?
No. No one has the power to give anyone the Holy Spirit. It is God only who initiates this thing. Like Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Father has sent Christ. No human being can give another the Holy Spirit. The confusion there, let me just put Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Luke chapter 11, verse 13. We only receive the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ, not through people. The problem that we have is we use the Holy Spirit instead of being used by the Holy Spirit. We do not give the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that should give us.
So if a person says, well, I own the church, I'm apostle so-so and so, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come to my church, they're lying.
They are definitely lying. The Holy Spirit is not confined in a certain room or in a certain person. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You don't need to travel somewhere to get him. You just need to connect to Jesus and accept him by faith.
Lovely. Well, Pastor, I think time is far spent. Thank you so much for joining us. We will connect again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you so much.
Lovely. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.